Today's scripture can be found in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verses 1, 13, and 14. You can find it on page 1062 in your pew Bible or on the screen behind me. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. May God grant us understanding of this, his holy word.
We learned a new word last week, Brexit. It means the exit of Great Britain from the European Union. The financial markets did not like that new word. Stocks immediately fell around the world due to the economic uncertainties of Brexit. Most of the markets have since bounced back, but no one knows exactly sure what it will mean. After a popular vote, the results of the referendum mean that the UK is declaring independence from the EU. Apparently, the majority of the people in the UK want to be free from the obligations and responsibilities of union with other European countries. Now, we know that freedom is a good thing. This weekend here in the United States of America, we are celebrating our freedom. 240 years ago, on the 4th of July, 1776, this country declared its own exit from the British Empire. Kind of an am-exit. We say we did not want to have the restrictions and obligations of union with Great Britain. And so Independence Day is a big deal for us. That's why we sang patriotic hymns this morning. That's why there'll be fireworks across America tomorrow night, weather permitting. Generally, freedom is a good thing. But freedom can be misused. Our scripture for this morning is taken from Paul's letter to the Galatians. And in his letter, Paul celebrated our freedom in Christ. As Christians, we are free from the restrictions and obligations of the Jewish religion and from religion in general. It doesn't mean that we reject religion altogether. After all, the Jewish Bible is our Old Testament. But our freedom in Christ means that we are not saved by adherence to religion or adherence to the Jewish law or by rules and regulations, but we are saved only by our faith in Jesus Christ. And so we are free in Christ. But freedom comes with responsibility. Freedom without responsibility can be misused. Just ask any parent of a teenager what happens when you have freedom without responsibility. Paul wrote, "For you are called to freedom, brothers and sisters, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another." In other words, God has given us freedom, but we have the responsibility to use our freedom for the benefit of others and not just for ourselves. Freedom without responsibility can be misused. For example, we have great freedom in this country in the right to bear arms. That freedom is protected by the Second Amendment to the Constitution. And Americans exercise that freedom widely. According to Time magazine, Americans own over 270 million guns. That's almost 89 guns for every 100 people. In comparison, in Australia, there are 15 guns for every 100 people. The question is, what are Americans doing with our freedom to bear arms? Are the guns making our country safer and more secure? Well, according to the 2016 Global Peace Index, the world at large is becoming a more violent place. Terrorism, war, crime, political instability are making many countries less peaceful. The most violent countries in the world, you can probably guess them, Syria, South Sudan, Iraq, and Afghanistan. Those are the most violent. The most peaceful are Iceland, Denmark, Austria, and New Zealand. Of the 163 countries on the list, 163 countries on the list, with Iceland number one, the most peaceful, Syria 163, the least peaceful, the U.S. is number 103. That means that 102 countries in the world are more peaceful and less violent than we are. We have great freedom to bear arms, but are we using that freedom responsibly? The number of active shooter incidents in the United States has risen dramatically in recent years. The shocking massacre in the nightclub in Orlando 2 weeks ago was the deadliest mass shooting in U.S. history. And tragically, it is no longer a rare event. According to data from the FBI, public shootings have become a grim new reality in American life. An active shooter event is defined as an individual trying to shoot and kill people in a public place. In 2000, there was one active shooter event in the entire United States. Last year, there were 20. That's one every 18 days. Now, not every active shooter event results in a massacre. Sometimes only a few people are shot and killed. But in recent years, there's been one massacre after another. 32 people killed on the campus of Virginia Tech University. 27 people, including 20 children, killed at an elementary school in Newtown, Connecticut. 14 killed last December at an office party in San Bernardino, California, and then most recently 49 people killed in Orlando. We have great freedom to bear arms, but are we using that freedom responsibly? More people in America were killed by guns last year than died in traffic accidents. More people in America were killed by guns last year than all the victims of terrorism around the world. Now listen, that's no small number. Last year, 30,000 people died from terrorism around the world. And yet more people were killed by guns in this country than the rest of the world combined with regard to terrorism. Someone has said, just because you have the right to do something doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. Now, the aim of this sermon is not to preach about gun control. I tried that a few years ago, and it didn't work. In fact, some very faithful members of our church didn't like it. And later in the day, they told me they didn't like it. And in fact, a couple of them said, we're leaving the church if you continue to preach about that. I realize this is one of many hot-button issues over which Christians disagree. And we disagree because we have freedom in Christ. We have freedom to make up our own minds about the issues of the day. But freedom without responsibility can be misused. Paul wrote, do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love, become slaves to one another. Now, it sounds like a contradiction because earlier Paul said, do not submit again to a yoke of slavery, and he was talking about the rules and restrictions of religion. And here he's saying, be slaves to one another. How do we put those two together? The difference is freedom. Through our freedom in Christ, we are no longer slaves to the sin and evil of this world or to the rules and restrictions of religion. But through our freedom in Christ, we are free to choose to become slaves to one another out of love. That means, as Paul said, the whole law is summed up in a single commandment, we love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Loving our neighbors as we love ourselves is becoming slaves to one another out of love. You see, we do it not because we have to, but because we want to. God does not force us to do anything. God has given us genuine freedom to make our own choices and to decide how we'll live. But as Christians, that freedom comes with responsibility. The responsibility to love one another. God will not make us love one another. We choose to love one another simply because we choose to love Jesus. We choose to love one another because we remember that Jesus chose to give himself for us out of love. Freedom in Christ means the freedom to love. Our guest preacher last Sunday, Dr. Odi Bonacciu, grew up in Romania under communism. Odi said there was very little freedom in communist Romania. The secret police spied on citizens that they considered possible threats. They had files on Odi and his parents. Every person was required to carry an identification card. And he told me that any person could be stopped on the street by the police and required to show their identification card. And if the police had something against you, they could confiscate your ID card. And then you were de facto in violation of the law and could be thrown into jail. So basically, they could arrest anybody they wanted to. Because OT was a Baptist, he was prohibited from pursuing certain courses of study at the university. He could not train to become a teacher, for example, because he might try to teach others about his religious beliefs. And so OT studied engineering because the authorities did not see that as a threat for spreading religious propaganda. In order to study theology, he had to leave the country. He went to England on a tourist visa, and he stayed there for 3 years. The reason he stayed in England for 3 years was he could not return to Romania and be free to leave again. He knew they'd keep him. And so he had to stay with his family for 3 years. Only after the fall of communism was OT able to return to his family in Bucharest. As I said, he had trained to become an engineer, but he felt called to be a pastor. And so he chose to follow God's calling and become a pastor and eventually a professor of theology. And out of his love for his neighbors, he founded a ministry to gypsy children, which became the Ruth School in Bucharest. Odi said he was moving far outside his comfort zone to minister to illiterate gypsy street children. But freedom in Christ means we love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Now, in some respects, that kind of freedom can be dangerous. It's dangerous because nobody's telling us what to do. I'm not telling you what to do. We make our own choices. We follow the dictates of our own hearts. We are free in Christ. But freedom without responsibility can lead to self-indulgence and disregard for others. God did not create us to be puppets. God created us in his own image, and that means that we have genuine freedom. God gave us minds to think and experience to help us to learn and to grow. And that, frankly, is why Christians don't always agree on the controversial hot-button issues of our day. There are a lot of issues on which Christians disagree. Gun control, war, capital punishment, immigration, abortion, cohabitation, divorce, the role of women, the role of men, same-sex relationships, the use of alcohol and other substances, and I haven't even mentioned the upcoming presidential election. We don't agree on everything. But guess what? As Christians, we don't have to agree on every single issue. All we have to do is agree to love God, and to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. That's what the elements on this table represent: the love that Jesus has for us and the love that Jesus wants us to have for each other. The greatest freedom is to love. This table of the Lord is open to all fellow Christians. And although no one should partake of these sacred emblems impenitent or without faith in Christ, we invite all who are sincerely seeking him to receive from his table in the assurance that he who came into the world to be the Savior of all will receive you as his own. We have freedom in Christ. Freedom from sin and death. Freedom to become the people God created us to be. And that freedom begins when we accept Jesus as our Savior and invite Him to become the Lord of our lives. We offer you the opportunity this day to make that decision for yourself. If you not publicly profess your faith in Jesus, follow Him as a believer in baptism, we invite you to make that decision. Or maybe you've been a Christian for some time, but you're not a part of this church family. We'd invite you to unite with us. The invitation is to come to the front as we stand together and sing our closing hymn, number 698, for the healing of the nations.